KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's mostly clear and 31 degrees in Atlantic. We look for mostly sunny skies today and a high around 40. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. In state news, with just 7 days left until the caucuses, five GOP presidential hopefuls will be in Iowa today. Rick Santorum had Iowa all to himself on Monday. He went hunting at a private hunting lodge near Adel and bagged four birds.
There's only one thing better than getting a bird, and that's watching your son in his first hunt get a bird. I mean, there's just nothing better than that, and he had a lot of good shots today, and we had a lot of fun.
Santorum describes himself as a steady campaigner who has now held nearly 350 town hall meetings in Iowa.
I think we'll see in the end that a lot of folks respect that.
Congressman Steve King was in Santorum's hunting party, but King still hasn't decided if he'll endorse a candidate before the caucuses.
I've got a few days yet before a decision has to be made.
King says his head and his heart may not come together and make a decision until after the caucuses. Last week, three-time Republican gubernatorial candidate Bob Vanderplaats endorsed Santorum. Santorum dismisses the idea that he or Vanderplaats may have violated campaign rules by discussing the need to raise money to promote the endorsement.
Some people who didn't get the endorsement are trying to stir the pot to make it, what it isn't. I don't know what he said to anybody else, but what he said to me was about as benign a statement as you know, this is what we would do with the endorsement, and this is what we want to accomplish. In a sense, trying to tell us how significant that endorsement is, in the sense that he would not only endorse, but he would try to do some things to make that endorsement have a bigger effect than just going and doing a press release.
Santorum bought himself and his son's new guns, Weatherbys, for Christmas, and yesterday his son John shot his first bird with the first shot out of his new gun. More news in just a moment. News time is 8:02.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Trane dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now, 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
Republican candidate Mitt Romney held a town hall meeting with Iowans Monday night by telephone, assuring one caller that if he's the GOP nominee in 2012, he'll go toe-to-toe with the president in next fall's debates.
I'm very confident that I will be able to stand up to Barack Obama's, his inaccurate perceptions. Because President Obama really doesn't understand the economy. And these debates are going to overwhelmingly focus on the fact that his economic record has failed.
The caller, only identified as Jane from Western Iowa, told Romney that she was a major supporter, but asked how strongly he would be able to combat, quote, all the lies and the other things Obama might throw Romney's way during televised debates. Romney suggested that he had faced all sorts of challenges in the 13 debates this year, which have featured Republican candidates.
Sometimes it's been a time where we've been relatively quiet and then respectful to one another. Other times there have been some more energized moments, I'll call them. And I think you'll find that if you look at the folks who've looked at the different debates and rated the different debates, that I've done pretty darn well. Some would say that I've won the great majority. Others would maybe disagree.
A bit later, Romney told the Iowans on the call that he might be in their neighborhood in the days leading up to the caucuses. And then Romney closed with this.
Thank you for the participation that exists in Iowa on your part to be involved in this caucus process. You get things started in selecting our nominee, I think it was Jane that asked the question about, are you going to be able to go up and debate this guy, Barack Obama? I'm looking forward to that.
Romney is due to arrive in Iowa late this afternoon, and he'll speak at a rally in Davenport early this evening before embarking on a bus tour of the state. It's unclear how many out-of-staters will show up for the Occupy the Caucus events this week. Stephen Toothman of Des Moines, a local organizer, said there will be a variety of meetings throughout the day today in an office building just a few blocks east of the Capitol with the People's Caucus tonight at 7 p.m.
This is a chance for the messages of the 99% to be heard.
And the Occupy Wall Street movement reached Iowa early in October, and a small group of Occupy Des Moines activists still has an outdoor camp at a public park that's about four blocks east of the State House. Tonight's People's Caucus won't be outdoors, though. This will be an office building that's undergoing restoration, and they'll have teach-ins this afternoon.
This is to teach people about the issues. Like, I'm going to be doing a teach-in on Citizens United and how we got here.
And in the Citizens United decision, the Supreme Court of the U.S. ruled that corporations have the same kind of free speech rights that individuals do in elections. Associated Press newspaper and broadcast members have selected the historic flooding of the Missouri River as the top Iowa news story of 2011. The flood inundated vast stretches of land in Iowa and other states bordering the river, and the high water remained for months. In Iowa, the flooding caused an estimated $207 million in lost crop sales and related economic activity, and severely damaged or destroyed 380 homes. In second place was Governor Terry Branstad's return for a fifth term. The Republican kept his promise to support a conservative agenda of tax cuts for businesses and reduced government spending, leading to standoffs with Democrats in one of the longest legislative sessions in state history. Other top stories voted on by the broadcast members of the Associated Press included that lengthy legislative session, as we mentioned, caucus campaigning, and the tornado that hit Mapleton. Several cities in Nebraska and Iowa made Farmers Insurance's list of the safer and most secure places to live in the country. The insurer ranked cities of different sizes based on crime rates, natural disaster risks, environmental hazards, car accidents, unemployment, housing depreciation, and other factors. In the city for the category for cities with at least 500,000 residents, the Omaha Council Bluffs metro area ranked 8th and Des Moines ranked 19th. Among cities between 150,000 and 500,000 residents, Lincoln, Nebraska ranked 8th. And among the smaller cities with fewer than 150,000 people, Iowa City ranked 19th and Sioux City came in 20th. Officials of the Boy Scouts of America Mid-America Council say the 6,375 Boy Scouts in the MAC sold nearly $3.5 million worth of popcorn during a recent fundraiser. Of that total, $1.2 million benefited individual scouts, helping send them to camp, buy supplies for scouting, and participate in activities. The Mid-America Council netted more than $1 million that will be used to help offset the cost of operating its camps and provide training for scouts and leaders. This year's campaign also contributed more than $122,000 worth of popcorn in support of local military families. And the popcorn campaign is helping to send 192 Mid-America Council scouts to college through a scholarship program. The Mid-America Council serves 33,701 youth in 58 counties in Nebraska, Iowa, and South Dakota. It's supported by over 9,500 volunteers and is headquartered in Omaha with a satellite service center in Sioux City. The operator of the Argosy Riverboat Casino in Sioux City has backed out of a deal to keep a land-based version of the casino in Sioux City through January of 2013. Officials of the Missouri River Historical Development, the nonprofit group that holds the casino's license, announced the deal with Argosy owner Penn National Gaming Incorporated fell through late Friday. A spokesman for Penn National confirmed the development. The two sides had earlier announced that they had reached a six-month extension of their agreement, which expires in July. It was believed the agreement was an effort to continue negotiations with Penn for a land-based casino. Penn National spokesman Eric Schipper said the company is hopeful they can still reach a long-term deal with Missouri River Historical Development. And the Boyer Chute and DeSoto National Wildlife Refuges are holding a January muzzleloader deer hunt for Iowa and Nebraska hunters. The hunt will run from January 11th through the 18th and will apply to antlerless deer only. Nebraska hunters need a season choice Area 21 permit for the hunt, while Iowa hunters will need a January antlerless deer license, but they can use similar permits from Harrison or Pottawatomie counties. Boyer Chute Refuge is open to Nebraska hunters only, while DeSoto has land in both the states of Iowa and Nebraska, and hunters from both states may hunt. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, up to 120 Sears and Kmart stores are closing after terrible holiday sales. Kmart's declining sales are blamed on fewer layaways and a drop in sales of clothing and consumer electronics. The retailer says the store closings will generate $140 to $170 million in cash in inventory sales. An Indiana man accused of killing a 9-year-old girl he was babysitting will be formally charged with murder today. Police arrested Mike Plumador yesterday after finding the body of Aliana Lemon. The 39-year-old man had been watching the girl and her two sisters Friday when she was reported missing. And the lot where a $1.7 million Connecticut home once stood has become the scene of floral bouquets, stuffed animals, and candles. The five-bedroom waterfront home burned Christmas morning, killing three young girls and their maternal grandparents. The mother and a man working on the home escaped. News time is 8:10.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing, Heating, and Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
And in our funeral announcements, Anita Nelson, age 93, of Greenfield, died Thursday at the Adair County Hospital in Greenfield. Funeral services for Anita Nelson will be held today at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Ronald Rehfeldt, age 64, of Oakland, died last Tuesday at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. Funeral services for Ronald Rehfeldt will be held today at 10:30 at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Robert J. Schmitz, age 82, of Grand Island, Nebraska, and formerly of Audubon, died Friday at the Veterans Home in Grand Island. Funeral services for Robert Schmitz will be today at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Lucine Dorothy Klein, age 100, of Harlan, died Friday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community in Harlan. A massive Christian burial service for Lucine Klein will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has arrangements. Lyle J. Stoberl, age 81, of Stewart, died Wednesday at the Stewart Community Care Center. A funeral mass for Lyle Stoberl will be held at noon today at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Catherine L. Clayton, age 94, a lifelong Dexter resident, died Wednesday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for Catherine Clayton will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Daryl Chris Paulson, age 79, of Avoca, died Saturday at his home. Graveside services for Daryl Paulson will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Graceland Cemetery in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Wayne H. Betts, age 91, of Guthrie Center, died Saturday at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. Memorial services for Wayne Betts will be on Thursday at 11 a.m. at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Margaret Jensen, age 86, of Stewart, died Thursday at Mercy West Medical Center. Memorial services for Margaret Jensen will be on Thursday at 11 a.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Bruce Brown, age 86, of Redfield and formerly of Anita, died Saturday at the Perry Lutheran Home in Perry. Memorial services for Bruce Brown will be on Friday at 10 a.m. at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Adair. Betty A. Jenny, age 70, of Harlan, died Monday in Harlan. Funeral services for Betty Jenny will be this Friday at 10 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Beverly Jean Jones, age 75, of Oakland, died Thursday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Cremation has taken place and there will be no services held at this time for Beverly Jones. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. George Drake, age 76, of Bayard, died Sunday at the Israel House in Ames. Services for George Drake are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Bayard. Muriel Jean Vogt, age 80, of Adair, died Monday at the Cass County Hospice Center. Funeral services for Muriel Vogt are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Adair. And Marty Kinsey of Anita died Friday at his home. Services for Marty Kinsey are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. That's a check of the news this hour, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.